option. Of course, one day a week he didn't want school at all. And that day that she said that to him, he went out and got a job. And it was in a bakery he got a job. And
bakery?
It was up in Blarney Street. Okay. He used to go, I don't know what the name of it was now. Harmon something. No, 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 no. That's where my mother worked. She was in Thompson's for 9 years. She was with them. She worked out in the house, okay, in the cleaning. Yeah. And he was great, actually. He even made my wedding cake, would you believe?
Really?
Sam Thompson himself, yeah. He was great. You know, he was very good to us, actually, yeah, you know. But anyway, yeah, so he got that job. And then he went to the one day a week. So she settled down with that. He didn't stay too long in the confectionery side of it, as we call it. He went into mechanical. He wanted to do something in that line. And O'Shea's, they were the builders down in the South Mall. Mm. They had a garage, and he went in working there. And he used to come home and he'd be full of grease and his clothes. And anyway, one day I remember I was after spending the day cleaning the house and I was having visitors. And the next thing I said to him when he came in the door, don't put your clothes in the back of the chair. I'm after been cleaning all day. And of course, what does Barry do? Put his clothes in the back of the chair. And if he does, I catch the clothes and I throw them. My mother wasn't there now, by the way. I got the clothes and I threw them out the back door. And we had a dog, Laddie, at the time. And Laddie got a hold of his shirt and went climbing up the back of the the wall. They were able to grab onto him like the dogs were. And I went off running up the back gardens with the shirt. Well, I got battered from one end of the house to the other. And my mother, as I said, was out. So my brother was going down the road afterwards. And he said, she's crying above. And she says to him, what's wrong now? She'll tell you all about it, was all he said. Because she told me when she came in, like, and when I told her what I was after doing, oh, she said, that serves him right. But I tell you that from the day that happened, he never put his clothes in the back of the chair again. You know, that was my one way of getting back at him. But where else would I tell you about
it? So you were in the Sunbeam for how long?
I was in the Sunbeam. Oh gosh, I went back there even after I married. God, I was there from 16, I think, until, yeah, 4 years.
Okay.
4 years, yeah. Because I left just as I was coming up to 21. I actually left, so it was 4 years. I was in the Sunbeam. Mm-hmm. And all my family were in, like my uncles.
Yeah.
I have five uncles working in the Sunbeam. Oh, wow. And no, we never met.
Yeah.
Because they'd be on different shifts and they'd be in different sections of the Sunbeam. So we never actually met. But they were there. I had no aunts ever worked. Well, I'd only one aunt, actually. Because the other one was in England. She actually got polio as well, yeah. Years before I got it. It was known as infantile paralysis, you know. And yeah, she went to England when she was fairly young. The best thing that ever happened to her, she said herself. She never had an operation, but she wore a boot about, oh my God, it would be that much higher than
so
the other.
So you're talking about like 15 centimetres or something?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. But she never had an operation. She was able to walk like that. And yeah.
And what age was she when she contracted, do you know?
I don't know that. No, I never knew what age she
was.
Was
a teenager or something? Was it?
Oh, she was definitely a teenager. Yeah, she went, I think, before she was even 20 to England. So she was after getting polio before that.
And she was able to find employment over there and everything afterwards? And
she married and she had, how many children? She had two boys and a girl, three. She had three children, yeah. And, of course, we never had a television, needless to say. And all you'll be listening to, oh, Maureen has this and Maureen has that. They have three televisions over in that house. This is my grandmother now telling me about her, you know. And, yeah, even though I loved my grandmother to bits, but...
So was this your mom's sister? Or
no, my father's mother, where we lived, like where I was born in her house, you know. Yeah, but she wasn't the nicest person of people, like, especially to my mother, you know. No. My mother and herself. And yes, would you believe when she was dying, the only one she wanted around her was my mother. She didn't want another soul, only my mother to be around her. And my mother went in and she looked after her for, I know, was it 2 or 3 weeks before the woman died? Like, yeah.
That.
Yeah, it's, oh yeah.
Just to focus a little bit on your mum, because she sounds like an amazing person. So you're saying that she was basically a single mother bringing up the two of you?
Absolutely, you know? Without
so
a doubt.
Not only was she bringing up herself, who had your difficulties,
yeah,
she was doing it on her own.
All on her own.
In the late 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
How was that viewed? How did you have any perception of how that was viewed, or was she viewed differently by the community? Or?
No, she wasn't. No. She wouldn't leave anyone talk down to her. Oh my God, no. As I said, she was the one that the neighbours, husbands and all, would come to my mother, mm-hmm, no matter what, you know? Yeah.
And were you treated differently in school because you were, like, by the nuns or anything like that?
No, only just that I was never allowed out to the play yard.
And that had nothing to do, obviously, with your marital status or something?
No, that was it. I wasn't treated anything different in other ways. I mean, I was still in school and I was treated the same as anybody. I never got a slap, of course. While others would be getting the hands slapped off them, there was never a slap put on me. I will say that much now.
You were hardly deserving of that.
You know.
So before we get into your marriage and everything, I just wanted to focus on, you were talking about your shoe and the calipers.
Yeah.
Can you, so you'd obviously have to go get fitted and whatnot there. Can you describe the process of going getting fitted for the shoe?
For a shoe? Shoes were more like a boot.
Yeah.
And they had to have a very thick heel. I think my mother was able to buy them. They weren't specially made shoes, but then there had to be a hole put in them for the caliper to come in. And they were always leather. They had to be a leather. I don't ever remember going and getting fitted for them, so I must have been able to go into a shoe shop. Mm-hmm. I know it was the centre for a long time, which was known, I think, as the Saxone. And she used to bring me in there. So I think, she was able to definitely buy the shoes from the counter, whatever. She knew exactly what ones to get. But if that actually went underneath, then, the caliper was no good, until that shoe had to be mended, you know. And I could be maybe 2 or 3 days without it then. So it meant that I was getting around in my backside, literally, you know. Yeah. And I remember one time, again, my mother wasn't there, but there was an awful storm happened. And I was terrified in the house on my own. And I went out and I sat at the front door. And there down at the bottom of the road, Cortex wall fell completely over with the wind. And of course, that I was absolutely terrified when I saw all that happening. And at the same day, 3 people coming home from work were killed. A wall fell down on top of them at Murphy's Brewery. Yeah. So, the winds we got as a child were phenomenal, really, you know. Yeah. And then our next door neighbour, she was a Mrs. Duggan. She was like that. If there was thunder and lightning, she was under the bed. But the funny thing about it, she always took all the cutlery and the mirrors off the wall, and she'd be under the bed with all them. And you couldn't call in her if you were afraid of anything, because she was petrified of things herself, you know. But that was my experience of that.
You kind of touched off your friends and stuff like that. So you were obviously friends with the people in your little the Crescent.
Yeah.
And in school.
And
was it generally positive with all growing up with friends and stuff?
Yes, it was. I didn't have any.
Did you have the name calling or anything like that, or was there any of that?
There was, but can I remember it? Again, as I told you, my mother used to say, don't be worrying about what other people are calling you or whatever. Mm-hmm. They used to say things all right now. Especially when I was with the crutches, I think, more than in the wheelchair, in the go-kart. It wasn't the wheelchair, the go-kart. I can't remember what they used to call me, but they had names for me, all right.
But it obviously didn't affect you.
No.
Brushed
it off. And Thank God.
Did you have friends that stuck up for you, or was it just you didn't even bother with them?
I had one great friend, all right. Catherine was her name. Yeah. We remained friends for many, many years, but Catherine unfortunately died. She was one that was always at my side, especially in school now. She would make sure at lunchtime she'd be over to me and she'd sit and have lunch with me. The rest would be out in the yard, you see, having their lunch, but again, I wasn't allowed out there. But Catherine would always be there, and she remained very, very faithful all through the years. Don't get alarmed now, he might be jumping up there for water. The cat. Anyway, There was another girl, Mary O'Shea was her name, and Mary lived only across the way from me. She was another one that helped out to sit with me when lunchtime would be there. Again, they weren't asked to do it. They would just do it from themselves, you know, yeah. The nuns would never ask them to stay behind with me. No, they were about the only two people I can actually remember that were very, very close to me, you know. The other girls, I just mixed around with all of them, do you know? Yeah. I was always a good mixer. Okay. Yeah, which was good.
So you were saying then, we'll jump forward a bit then, but yeah. So you got married when before you were 21?
Yeah, I was 21 the next month. Okay. Yeah, I was married in August and I was 21 in September.
So where did you meet the lucky fella?
Oh, that was a long story before we got to that at all. I was in the Legion of Mary, you know. Yeah. And then Cope Foundation used to have Cork Polio, they were General Articare. They had a social gathering for people with polio, and it was up in the Mar Dyke. It started and then it moved down to the South Mall. But they had, you know, I got into a different group of people there, and from there I joined the Legion of Mary, and that was down in Mary Street. And we were given Legion work of washing up the dishes after the social gathering would be one of them, or going house visitation, hospital visitation. So I was able to take part in all of them. And I, you know, I loved the Legion of Mary, actually. Pierce Wise, now you might have heard of Pierce. Well, Pierce was our chairman at the time, like for the Legion. And so I was very involved with Pierce at the time as well. But anyway, as time was going on, they had, you know, they used to run an outing every year down to Googan Barra, the Legion now. And the club, as it was known as in the South Mall, they would all be amalgamated in for that particular outing. So it was a big bus we used to get, and we'd be met at the Grand Parade. That was our meeting point. But we headed off every year down to Googan Barra. And this year I said to two of my colleagues on the bus, I'm not going on to Googan Barra this year. I'm getting off at Inchigeela. And they said, we'll go with you. So three of us got off the bus together, and the bus drove off, and we rounded the corner, and here was one of the Legion of Mary girls, Noreen was her name, coming along with this chap. And she introduced us, Terry. And she drove down herself, and she informed us that she met Terry in Tralee. She had been down in Tralee for a few days and went into this restaurant, and this chap came in. The place was full, and he asked her would she mind if he joined her, and she said no. So he sat down and they got talking, and he said he had been 5 years coming down to Kinsale, and the flight into Cork straight to Kinsale with four or five of his buddies, and they were known as the Crawlers. They were one family, and they used to go fishing because they went out deep sea fishing and all that kind of thing, and that was what he was into. And he said, but I never got to Cork. So she said, well, I'm driving back to Cork if you'd like to come back with me. So he took her up on the option. And then she said, where will you be staying? Well, I've no place booked, he said. So she said, a friend of mine is in hospital at the moment and her house is empty. So she said, if you'd like to stay there, it was only going to be two nights, the Friday night, the Saturday night, he was flying home on the Sunday. So
from England, was it?
He was from Liverpool. So another foreign country to all of us, like, because, I mean, you know, that was really foreign at that stage. Anyway, it turned out that she said to him, but the one thing tomorrow now on Saturday, I have Legion work to do. So she said, you can come with me if you'd like. So that's how he came to be in Inchigeela. And we just chatted away. He was in the group, like, that I was involved in. And he came in and had the meal with us that evening. And because we always ate in Creedence Hotel, they used to put on a fantastic meal for us all there. Done it now for 5 or 6 years I was going down there. Anyway, I think I was only about 14 when I started going down altogether. It would have been. Anyway, I said to the Noreen and to Terry, I said, you know, before your flight tomorrow evening, if you wanted to call for a cup of tea, our house was open house, as I said to you. So Noreen said, he's not flying until about 6:30. I said, grant, sure, if you want to come for the cup of tea, do. So they came for the cup of tea, and my mother made beautiful apple tarts. Oh my God, you'd eat them, I'm telling you. So she'd made two because she had a friend, Maggie, that came out every Sunday, and they'd have the apple tart for the tea in the evening. But before that, they went down to the pub to have their little drop-in, and it was known as the Touchdown at the time. And they had a different name for it now, I think, but it ended up as the Touchdown. They used to go down there and they'd have their drop-in, as she'd call it, mother would call it. And they weren't there, so they never met Terry, you see. So the next thing anyway, Terry got a taste of